live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Tuesday night. Your final score from Enterprise Center in St. Louis. The Blues win round one of this two-round fight. 2-1, your final score on a Tuesday. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. And the text line open as well at 960-960. Your phone calls and your texts a little bit later on. But right now, Megan Mickelson joins us to help us break this one down, the color voice of the Flames. And Mick, third game in four nights, second half of a back-to-back, and nobody wants to use that as an excuse. But, you know, you compare this night compared to what we saw Monday against Chicago, and opponent notwithstanding, because we know the Blues are a better group than Chicago is, but the Flames didn't have that same type of jump. It was a whole lot more difficult for them to really create much dangerous at all in this one. Just a tough kind of a slog out there for the Flames this evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say, especially off the start. I mean, they came out a little bit slow as well. So I think that's what, you know, really hurt them, is giving up a goal just 49 seconds into the game. But, you know, it wasn't for, you know, lack of try. You can tell that the effort was there, and, you know, as much energy as you can have on the second half of a back-to-back. I mean, they pushed, so you have to give them credit for that. But Kevin Rooney said it, and I mentioned it on the broadcast as well, just, you know, couldn't get in front of Jordan Binnington enough. Yeah. And we talked with Cale MacLean about that this morning, and that he knew, and he had talked to the players about how it was going to be hard for them to get to the front of the net with the defensemen for the Blues, and what a great job they do of boxing out and making sure that Jordan Binnington can see all of those pucks. And it was interesting, he was saying that what you need to do when you're in that situation where you can't get to the front of the net is you need to outpace the other team in their own zone, and it makes it a lot harder for defensemen to box you out and to get you out of the goalie's eyes when there's a ton of movement. And so, you know, that was something that I don't think that we saw enough of that. Mm-hmm. You can tell that they were trying to get there, but they just couldn't, and a lot of pucks that kind of popped out into the net front area couldn't get sticks on them. I also thought the Blues forwards did an outstanding job of getting in shot lanes. That was one thing that really stood out to me, and you could tell they were a desperate hockey team coming into this game. So I liked the pushback from the Flames. I also liked how Dan Vladar, he looked a little bit shaky early on, but I think that was just the fact that he hadn't played since January the 2nd.
Yeah, 12 days.
Yeah, that's a long time. I remember earlier in the season he had gone, I believe it was 11 days since he'd played his last game, and we had a conversation about how hard it is for goaltenders, especially when you haven't played for that long, to kind of get back into the swing of things. But thought that he settled in really, really nicely and made some massive saves to keep the team in it, especially when they were down 1-0. Huge saves.
Yeah.
You know, they tie it up, and then you can't fault him on the game winner. Like, he had absolutely no chance on that one. So, like the effort, like the pushback, and I'm excited for the game on Thursday now, because you know it's going to be another good one, and the Flames will be much more rested.
Well, that was our marquee matchup, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota in the pregame show, Mick, and that being first of two against the Blues, a rare scenario where the Flames will stay in the same city after a game and play two in a row in three nights against this St. Louis group. And, you know, as we talked about, Blues have now trimmed the deficit in the playoff race to 3 points with still two more games played. But it does set up an interesting one, because the Blues will remain desperate, but now the Flames have dropped the first one, and, you know, kind of feels like maybe a little bit more of a desperate outing for the Flames, and won't be their third game in four nights. They'll have a little bit of rest, and they don't have to travel either. I'm really interested to see how that changes kind of the paradigm for game two of this mini set coming into Thursday night.
Well, and I always think it's interesting too when two teams, you know, their last game was that they played was against one another. So it's very fresh in your mind as a player. Like, I remember when we would play our, you know, series against the Americans, and you know, it's, you play two, three games over the span of a week, but it's so fresh in your mind. So it's a lot easier to kind of make adjustments. It makes it easier during the game to play too in that second game in terms of, you know, predictability, making reads and that sort of thing. It also makes for oftentimes a tighter checking game. So this one to me was a tight checking game, but I think Thursday it's going to be even harder for teams to find offense.
So that's the marquee matchup. We'll see what game two of this mini two-game set has in store coming up on Thursday night. Marquee matchup this evening and every night brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Boxing Week blowout is on at the giant Country Hills Toyota. For a limited time, save $3,000 to $5,000 on every Tundra. It's time to Toyota. Get to the hardest working Flame in a second, but let me ask you first about Dan Vladar. You mentioned that a little bit about, especially in that second period, the work that he had to do. And yeah, maybe don't like the rebound that created the 1-0 goal as Parayko was able to then step in and put a seeing eye shot on. But you know, I thought the period that the Flames were on their heels the most was the second and underwater the most. And that was when the Blues were at their most dangerous. And you know, Dan Vladar allowed them even into the third period to tie that game. It made that Kevin Ball goal mean something because I thought, you know, you talked on Monday night after the win in Chicago, how important this start was for Dan Vladar. I don't know. I thought, you know, for all the circumstances, I'm not suggesting that he should start Thursday against the Blues. I think that's a Wolf game, but I think that, you know, in the situation, Dan Vladar, you know, held up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something that the coaching staff looks at as well. And, I mean, for a player, like, we just heard Kevin Rooney say, like, you know, Vladdy gets the tougher starts. And, you know, we're not always good in front of him. Or, you know, the staff knowing that he hasn't played in 12 days. Like, those are all things that, you know, everybody knows. And I think he played really, really well. So, you know, in terms of doing everything that you can for Dan Vladar to be as solid and as strong as he could in this one, you take away that first goal, and he was absolutely outstanding. But I would agree with you. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer that you're going back to Dustin Wolf on Thursday.
For sure. Okay, let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Mick, who do you got as the hardest worker tonight?
Well, I do have to mention, I liked Rasmus Anderson's game. And, you know, offense has been hard for him to come by in the last little while. I believe it's 3 points in his last 16 or 17 games. But, you know, the game against the Chicago Blackhawks, he had 5 shot attempts. In this game, he had 9. So I thought that that was really good and a positive indicator for him. Obviously, always plays just a bag of minutes. But the one guy who I thought had a really strong game was Martin Pospisil. And you think about the fact that he got kicked out of the last game for that hit on Taylor Hall. And I was a little bit worried, you know, in terms of whether he was going to back off on the physicality. We've seen that from him before, you know, taking penalties and whatnot. And then the next game, oftentimes, there's a little bit of hesitation with the physicality. He had 6 hits in this game and also picks up an assist. That goal does not happen with just a perfect support in the board battle, corner battle with Nazem Kadri. And then makes a beautiful pass, cross ice seam pass over to Kevin Ball for the Flames' only goal. He also had 6 shot attempts. So really impressed with Martin Pospisil's game, especially considering the circumstances of coming back from getting thrown out of the last one.
Okay, final score from Enterprise Center in St. Louis on this Tuesday night. Flames lose it 2-1, and game two of this two-game set in St. Louis goes Thursday night. Anything else that, just before we let you go, Mick, whether it's game two for Rory Karens or Sharon Govich, or anything else that jumped off the page for you in this one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that line of Peltier, Sharon Govich, and Karens, you know, I think back to the first period And I think the game, you know, you come out in the second half of back-to-back, you get scored on early. Things could have very easily spiraled in a bad direction for the group. But it was their shift early on in the first period where they came out. And I feel like they kind of, you know, gave the Flames a little bit of life. And then from there, you know, it was a back-and-forth kind of fast-paced game. So, I mean, I liked their game. I really liked the chemistry between him and Jacob Pelche. Yeah. But, you know, I was curious to see Cairns in this one, obviously against a much stronger opponent, you know, in comparison to the Chicago Blackhawks. But, I mean, I was impressed for the most part. I think it is, you know, it'll take time for him to kind of figure out how to be more effective and more impactful from an offensive standpoint as he moves along. But I'm impressed with his poise, his puck patience, and a lot of the decision-making out there and just the way that he's able to create. So, I mean, I liked that line once again, and I would like to see them stay together. Also, like the fourth line, I thought that they were impactful as well. But yeah, no, other than that, I don't have too much more. But I mean, it's a group, you know, that they're going to come out and they're going to play a much stronger, harder game, especially from the puck drop on Thursday.
Good stuff, Mick. We will talk to you then. Thanks as always, friend.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, color voice of the Flames, signing off on this Tuesday night. So the Flames off to a 1-1 start on this four-game road trip. 5-2 win Monday in Chicago. 2-1 loss tonight, Tuesday, against the St. Louis Blues. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's check in with head coach Ryan Huska. His thoughts following this 2-1 setback against the Blues.
Tight game out there, Coach. What did you see from your team tonight?
I thought it had the makings of a good road game for us. You know, in a back-to-back situation, we made a mistake with the puck in the third period, leaving our zone, and there was a turnover that they were able to capitalize on. And tonight, that was the difference in the game.
Many adjustments that you make for Thursday, or did you overall like your team's game?
We liked our effort for sure. I think there's a few things that we'll look at that I think we can do a better job with. I mean, we have some zone time, but I think we have to find a way to generate some more quality chances, I guess, would be one thing I would say.
A word about your goaltender, who I thought kept you in it, especially in that second period.
Yeah, I thought he for sure got better as the game went on. There was, as you mentioned, the stretch in the second period felt like about 5 minutes straight we were in our zone, and he made some saves at that point, and that's what we need from him. You know, seems like when Dan's in that, we don't get a lot of run support for him, so that's what kind of makes it a tougher one, where I felt like the game was there is to at least get ourselves into overtime. But like I said, one mistake, and sometimes that's the way it is in close games.
When you talk about generating better chances, are there times where you just want your team to shoot more? Do you feel like they're looking for that perfect opportunity?
No, I don't. I don't think our team is that. I mean, every once in a while it's going to happen. I think they do a good job on the other side of getting themselves into lanes quickly to make it difficult on you. But I think you can at times work a little bit harder to get yourselves into better positions to maybe to give you a better opportunity.
That's good. Thank you, guys.
There you go. That is Ryan Huska post-game in St. Louis following a 2-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues. Interesting point on the run support for Vladar. I do wonder how much of a topic that'll be once we get to the phone lines this evening. By the way, phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Tuesday night. And one more look inside the Flames locker room here for Canyon Plumbing and Heating. I thought Nazem Kadri had himself another really solid game all around it. Couldn't find one when it comes to a goal. Does pick up the assist on the game tying goal. Kadri finished tonight with 5 shot attempts, 3 shots, 3 scoring chances, and 1 at high danger. Here's Nazem Kadri post-game tonight following this 2-1 loss.
Yeah, it was a good game. Tight game. Definitely not a lot of room out there, but you know, I think we put forward a pretty good effort. Obviously came up a little short. Had some great opportunities, but you know, just couldn't buy another one.
Yeah, what was the mood in the dressing room after that second period when you were just down by a goal?
Yeah, well, it sucks a little bit just because we fought so hard to come back, and you know, it's obviously unfortunate to lose in regulation, but you know, that's how it goes. We got another game left here, and we'll be prepared for that one.
a word about your goaltender who kept you in it, especially in that second period.
Man, Vladdy's been great. He's been great. You know, I wish we could put a couple more past him, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, the guy on the other side made some, you know, some great saves today. I think we probably should have had a few, but didn't, and I wish we could have got those for him.
Is there much that you change for the rematch on Thursday, or do you feel like maybe you'll just have a bit more legs, a bit more energy out of the gate?
I don't think that was the issue. I mean, I think 5-on-5, we, you know, we controlled a lot of the play, and you know, like I said, had a lot of great opportunities. So I don't think we you know, we have to change anything at all.
Yeah. I was with two teams battling for playoff spots, and then now you're both playing two games. Does this have a little bit of a playoff feel almost, the way things are out there, a little tight?
Yeah, I think so, for sure, especially, you know, in the standings. These games matter, and you can tell both teams, you know, care about the 2 points. So, you know, we're going to try to split the series. Obviously, we're here for another game, and, you know, they did a great job, you know, earning their 2 points. But, you know, we'll be ready to go next game.
There you go. Nazem Kadri, post-game inside the Flames locker room this evening. And that's our look from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. We are just getting started when it comes to breaking this one down this evening. The phone lines are open, first of all, 403-240-4444. So if you want to chat with us, you can give us a call on this Tuesday night. Phone lines open. Text lines wide open for you as well at 960-960. Flames Talk postgame available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay. Flames fall to kick off this mini two-game set in St. Louis, 2-1 to the Blues at the Enterprise Center. As we welcome you back to our Flames Talk post-game show, it's Pat Steinberg along with you on this Tuesday night, and the phone lines are open. We are pretty thin to kick things off on the phone line, so if you want to jump in right now, do so whenever you want, because you won't get a busy signal. The phone lines open at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat, also text line wide open at 960-960. Lots of text to get to. A little thinner on the phone line, so if you want to jump in, you can do so right now. Flames Talk post-game, always available wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. A night where, you know, I didn't think the Flames played poorly, but just didn't feel like, I mean, honestly, they were not a dangerous group tonight. And you know, I know that, you know, you heard from Ryan Huska, you heard from Nazem Kadri right there, and neither guy really, and I think we'll hear from Martin Pospisil and Kevin Ball later on as well. Nobody is willing to use fatigue or third game in four nights or second half of the back-to-back, whatever. Nobody's willing to use that as an excuse, and that's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear the excuses, but at the same time, I think I always use this one. They're not excuses, there are reasons. And it just felt like the Flames just didn't have the legs they usually do, or the legs they need to be able to execute the brand of hockey they want to play to its utmost. And on this night, they were just really, really punchless. The Flames generated at all strengths 4 opportunities from the slot, and at 5-on-5, just 3. They just did not make, and you've heard people talk about it. You heard Nazem Kadri talk about it. You heard head coach Ryan Huska talk about it. They did not make life difficult on Jordan Binnington in the slightest. In fact, it was a very easy night for Binnington. No traffic, a lot of clean looks. And even the goal that the Flames scored, credit to Kevin Ball for kind of changing the angle, pump faking on the slap shot, and then walking in a little bit more to beat him with the wrist shot. But I mean, even the goal the Flames scored, 0 traffic. That beat Binnington clean. So all night, Binnington was seeing pucks, and I know that Jordan Binnington hasn't had the greatest banner season by his standards, but you give him that many clean looks at pucks, he's going to stop most of them. And yeah, one high-danger opportunity generated in each of the 3 periods, one in the first, one in the second, one in the third. When you count in 6-on-5, they got 1 extra one in the third period. just not dangerous at all tonight. Blues have the edge, 8-3 in high dangers at 5-on-5, 11-4 overall. Medium dangers, Blues were 30-16 overall, 22-15 at 5-on-5. Flames were just the less dangerous group of the two. Now, couple things. Credit the team for not ever having, credit the Flames, that is, for not ever having this thing get more than a goal away from them, and especially in the second period. Dan Vladar was a huge part of that, but the Flames are comfortable playing from behind, and the Flames are comfortable playing in tight one-goal games, so they didn't let this one spiral or snowball on them. And also, credit the Blues. They know how important this game is. And know what an opportunity two straight against the Flames could be. And so, you know, they played a pretty desperate and buttoned up style of hockey too. So, you know, we're going to be critical of the Flames after a loss because this is Flames talk, but, you know, the Blues get paid too, and they knew the situation, and St. Louis played a pretty gutsy game this evening. So, that also is important to point out. Boy, do I feel bad for Dan Vladar though, because another night, and no run support. Like, it just, it is becoming, and this is not to say that he has outplayed Dustin Wolf, and the only reason why Wolf's numbers are better is because of run support. That's not true. Dustin Wolf has been the better of the two goalies. There's zero doubt about that. Like, that is definitive that Wolf has outperformed Vladar a little bit more than halfway through the season. But on top of that, the Flames have also given Wolf significantly more run support, especially lately. Just one goal scored in this game. Remember, Vladar had that sparkling performance in Vegas, but the Flames got blanked. Just a lot of nights, not a lot of offense when Vladar is in net. That was definitely the case this evening. Did not love Vladar on the first goal. 49 seconds in, just thought the couple of rebounds were kicked out there that allowed the Blues a third opportunity in this case. And the second rebound gets kicked out right to Parayko, who's able to walk in. And, you know, I didn't mind the shot that actually beat Vladar. The shot wasn't a bad, sorry, the shot that beat him, that wasn't a bad goal in my opinion, but the rebound that sent it there, you probably want that a little bit more in control. Spotted the Blues a 1-0 lead, had the Flames playing from behind. They do come back to tie it, of course, but I did feel like Vladar settled in. And when it's all said and done, you know, Vladar gave the team an opportunity to win. So, yeah, I feel bad for him, but I'm going back to Wolf on Thursday. No questions asked. Like, zero doubt in my mind who you go with. And I don't think there's any doubt in the coaching staff's mind either. I think you go right back to Wolf on Thursday, and then you make a decision about Saturday in Winnipeg. Speaking of Vladar, though, time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And first start in 12 days for Dan Vladar. Prior to tonight, his last game was against Utah on January 2nd. And on this night in St. Louis, Dan Vladar's save of the game comes in period number 3.
Bounces the puck up the near boards to Saad. Sod, protected from Dean. Gets it in behind the net. Puchnevich centers to Sundqvist, and his one-timer stopped by Vladar. Dan Vladar might have been shaky in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the hockey game, Mick, but he's been money ever since.
And that ends up being one of the 23 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Okay, Flames Talk postgame is underway. Phone lines open, got a couple lines open, so if you want to chat, call now at 403-240-4444. But to the text line we go for the first time this evening at 960-960. This says from Scotty in Victoria, Pat, I didn't mind their game and physicality, but they simply didn't put enough high danger shots or chances towards Binnington. I hope they can come out of this mini series with 2 points. They're going to have to step it up on Thursday against this shutdown team. You know, the Blues can be pretty leaky at times, and they can take some chances, some undue chances, specifically with their blue line, with Parayko and Falk and Fowler. Like, you will see the Blues pinch aggressively, try to close gaps aggressively, and that can give a patient team like the Flames some odd man opportunities the other way. So see if that's able to happen. But I do give the Blues a lot of credit tonight. did a good job of not allowing much at all in the high danger areas and did keep the Flames to the outside for a vast majority of this hockey game. This from Jamie on 17th. Tough game for the boys tonight on the second half of the back-to-back. Team was bagged, but they still gave the effort at the end of the third. Hope Vladar doesn't catch strays. You've got to score more than one goal most nights to win. Speaking of which, I think I'm now on team trade Vladar. He plays best with consistent starts, and he's less likely to have those going forward. If they aren't going 1A, 1B, then it's time to get value. Thanks. I hope we see a sharper club on Thursday. And I think you're probably going to see Wolf on Thursday. And typically this team has been a little bit better in front of number 32 compared to in front of Vladar. And that is what it is. Not suggesting that there's any reason for that or that, you know, Vladar is Vladar's fault or anything like that. But yeah, it does feel like they seem to play a little bit more confidently in front of Dustin Wolf. This from Mark and Cornerstone. Backup goalies playing like backup goalies, unfortunately. Also, shout out to Anand, you're killing it. See, I didn't feel like this was a backup goalie performance. I really didn't. I thought that Vladar more than gave them an opportunity to win in this one this evening. So, I don't necessarily agree with that one. This from Dylan. It's like they refuse to give Vladar any kind of run support at all. Pretty hard for him to win when he's got to put up a donut. He was great tonight. Speaking of great, not a huge fan of shortening the bench when Duer was having his best game in 2 years. Ball may have earned himself $250,000 a year in the last couple of games. That comes from Dylan. Yeah, I thought Ball was very good tonight. One of the best players on the ice for the Flames. He and Anderson, I thought, had themselves a really nice night. Even if Ball doesn't score that goal and St. Louis wins this 1-0 or something like that, still think we'd have been singing the praises of Kevin Ball because he was great. He was physical. He was engaged offensively. He was really, really strong walking the line at the top. So that was a really nice night from Ball. And honestly, he's had more nice nights than otherwise this year. Jeff in Lethbridge, our buddy Jeff Bridge, says, Ball maybe with his best game as a Flame. Vladar played very well and deserved a better fate. His stats, I don't think, are reflective of how good he's mostly been. Overall, this was a great effort by the Flames. Again, I don't know if I thought this was a great effort. I thought they were kind of punchless for the most part. Didn't think it was a horrible effort, just thought it was kind of a flat effort offensively. Defensively, thought they were fine for the most part. But, yeah, I did. I'm with you. I did think that Vladar played quite well. But, again, in saying that, I also believe that we're talking about Dustin Wolf having earned the opportunity to go for a little bit and kind of used as a number one. And I'm not saying indefinitely for the next 39 games, but as they go in, Vladar played on the second half of the back-to-back tonight. That's a backup spot or a 1B spot. Well, in that situation, you go back to the 1A. And right now, that's Wolf. And so you go Wolf on Thursday with an eye to playing him on Saturday and then see if you confirm that eye after the game on Thursday. But I just, I think that Vladar, at the very least, held up his end of the bargain and an important start for himself. I thought held up his end of the bargain outside of the result. But yeah, I think for the next little bit, whether it's the next week or two, I think rolling Wolf as kind of more of a number one, see how he handles it, see how things evolve there. I think there's probably a lot to be said about doing that. And then you can see how it goes and monitor his workload, monitor his fatigue levels, and monitor his performance. And if it does dip a little bit, well, then you can ease back and maybe put Vladar into some more games. But right now, as much as I thought Vladar gave him a chance to win tonight, I still think Wolf is your better option. This comes from Camille Inferni. Wasn't able to watch the game tonight, but I was listening. Sounded to me like the Flames were robbed of a couple power plays. Wondering how you saw it out there. Honestly, I didn't think officiating played much of a part in this game at all. If I'm being honest, just how I saw it, I thought there was the close one on the over the glass there in the third period, but that was the only one that was kind of borderline, and I didn't really feel like that one was like an egregious miss. So, yeah, I didn't think that the officiating had a big part to play in this game tonight. This says from Ash, gutsy effort, if you ask me, despite the loss. I thought Rooney was bang on regarding Vladar not getting enough run support. Finally, I'd really like to see Dryden Hunt be recalled in place of Dewar, despite Hunt being a left-hand shot once the road trip is over. I actually haven't minded Dewar the last couple of games, so that is something to take into account when having that conversation, but generally, Dewar hasn't been as effective as I think that you would like somebody to be in your regular lineup. So if it goes back to that, yeah, I think that, and I've brought that up a couple of times prior to the last couple games, that maybe they do start to have a conversation about swapping Dewar for somebody else on the farm. Now, Dewar would have to clear waivers. There is that to take into account. However, I think he'd get through. So you do have that option, and my guess is Karen's coming up with the Zeri injury was the right call. If they were to make another move and swap a Dewar for somebody else, though, I think that maybe the decision to go with a guy like Hunt, you could definitely use that one. This reads from Andy, Pat, they needed the 2 points tonight. Even one would have helped them in the standings. Vladar looked good, but a little shaky here and there considering he hadn't played in a while. Karen's looking like he's already fitting in the NHL with Pelche and Sharon Govich. I think they have four legitimate lines. Just need to clean up the fourth line center for someone more impactful when it comes to producing points. I love Rooney, but he's been just okay. They need more than okay. Anyhow, Flames need to make sure those clearing attempts are properly done. Back's mistake cost him the game. I hope they clean that up. I mean, again, did Backlund make a mistake that then led to eventually the 2-1 game winning goal? Yep. Does that happen very often? Sure doesn't. And this season specifically, like, you can count on one hand how many egregious mistakes Michael Backlund has made. And you can make fun of me all you want for talking about how I'm always going to wave the Backlund flag, but facts are facts. He's been splendid this year. Like, he has been dynamite. The work defensively has been spot on. He still contributes offensively. You know, he's probably going to finish somewhere in the, 17 to 20 goal range, which is kind of where he always finishes. Yeah, I think Backlund had a really good season. Tonight, did make the one mistake. He was trying to go cross ice from just outside his own blue line. He was trying to go wide side. It was the right call because Coronado had some room, so he was going. He was passing to space and passing away from pressure, but he just didn't get enough on it. It was the right call to go coast to coast. He had the room to do it, but if you don't get enough zip on that puck, then it's going to get intercepted, and he just kind of flubbed it, and it was a soft play. You don't usually see that happen from Michael Backlund. So did it lead to a goal? Yes. Am I going to all of a sudden put goat horns on this guy and start ripping him all that much? No. Same way when a Kadri makes a mistake, like the one overtime mistake I think he made earlier this year, it's like, yeah, Kadri, yeah, guys make mistakes. Rasmus Anderson's had a couple this year. Uyghur's had a couple this year. When you're that important to this team, you're sometimes going to make a mistake that ends up in the back of your net. This from our favorite Canucks fan, Sarah, but did the Flames lose 6-1? That takes real skill. Yes, that was not a banner night for the that was not a banner night for the Vancouver Canucks, that's for sure. This says from Buff, I'm wondering if it's time to swap it and start cherry picking Vladar starts. This game meant more for the playoffs. Depends how you read it. Like, you could spin that both ways, Buff. Like, if you were to take a look at the back-to-back, right, you could easily make the argument that you want your number one guy in the game against the bad team, like Chicago, because you want to make sure you get those 2 points. And then you go back up in the second half of the back-to-back. Or you can make the point that, well, Chicago's the gimme, put the backup in that game, and then go Wolf against the more difficult team in St. Louis. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer, honestly, on that front. And usually the backup goes on the second half of the back-to-back, and that is that's what happened in this one, and I had no problem with that call whatsoever. This reads, now that they're halfway through, it's become apparent that scoring is the area the Flames need to address with the greatest urgency. Their level of defense and goaltending are giving the team chances to win, but it's very difficult to win with no goals. My question is, What's the best way to address this? The plus is they have significant cap space, but this team has had some big misses on free agents. Do you prefer this approach or more building from guys already in the organization with the understanding the timeline might be longer with this approach? Well, the timeline was never going to be just this season. And so as a result, I don't think there is as much urgency as there would be in other markets or other years with this team when it comes to adding scoring. I'm not suggesting that if somebody comes up and or comes available that fits the age range that they can have as part of the long-term future, I'm not suggesting you don't go and try to attain that, but I don't think you go and make a move solely to address this season and to address scoring this season. And honestly, I don't know if one player is going to make the difference. This team does not have elite offensive talent. They're not going to have elite offensive talent probably at any point this year. And so they know what they are. They know that they are a tight-checking, five-man unit, suffocating type of team, getting decent goaltending, and not giving teams much. And that also translates to not scoring a lot either. This team, you know, they scored five last night, but typically they don't score a lot. They don't score more than three very often, and that's kind of who they are. And I don't think that's going to change necessarily anytime soon. This from Rick in Lakeview. Good evening, Pat. Well, I thought good marks in the try department, all considered. Vladar was really solid, apart from an undeniable early first goal. Dan's better the less you see him on his knees, in my opinion. He deserved a better outcome, likely. Really liked Ball this eve. Rasmus, too. Kadri, close, but no luck again. Coronado continues to grow poise and impresses up and down the ice. Next game is very valuable, methinks. Go Flames, go. That's from Rick in Lakeview. And finally, before we hit the phone lines for the first time tonight, Brad in Linden says, when Zeri comes back, what would Kerins have to do, would have done to stay, and who could be a potential to go down? And I don't like these questions because I, A, don't know when Zeri's back, and B, who else is playing well or who else is hurt or all those types of things. It's just so speculative. All I can answer is if Zeri was ready to come back for Thursday, I'd send Duehr down, is what I would do. And I would try to find a way to keep Kerins in some way or another. That's what I would do if Zeri was coming back on Thursday. But Zeri is not coming back on Thursday. It's going to be a much longer timeline than that. So to project much further than that, I think, is kind of a fool's errand, because I don't know who else is going to be hurt. I don't know who else is going to be playing well. I don't even know what the line combinations are going to look like, right? So that becomes a little bit too difficult, I think, to kind of forecast. Great stuff so far on the text line. Keep them coming at 960-960 as we continue along on this Tuesday night as the Flames fall 2-1 to St. Louis. Flames continue this mini two-game set against the Blues Thursday once again at Enterprise Center. Full lines open, and we got one line open, two lines open right now if you want to chat. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number if you want to jump in and chat with us. The text line open as well. At 960-960. Flames Talk post games on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg, and let's get to the phone lines for the first time with George kicking us off. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. Good evening, my friend. I hope you're doing well.
You as well.
Thank you, my man. I'm with you, man. I feel really bad for Vladar. The first goal wasn't the best. I get it, okay? But after that, he did a really good job of shutting it down. And like the second goal, he had no chance on. And again, he didn't get run support. He made some pretty good saves tonight. He held his ground. I know that, look, Dustin Wolf's the future of this team. I mean, there's no doubt about that. We all understand that, whether we like Vladar or we don't like Vladar, or we want Vladar traded or whatever, right? But I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Vladar is necessary right now to this equation, right? Like, absolutely, Wolf deserves to be getting the run he's getting right now. But again, he's a rookie still. And, you know, there's a reason that you have a backup goalie, whatever you want to call Vladar at this point, if he's a 1B, right? But I recall you quoting Kevin Woodley on one of the Flames Talk shows, you know, saying basically, a lot of teams in the NHL are starting to really put, like, more teams want a tandem in general. The days of goalies playing 65 games or more, you know, they're going to be completely gone, or a lot of general managers slash coaches don't want that anymore, because you have a playoff run coming up, and you know, you find a lot of those starters getting fatigued, and it can cost you a playoff round, right? And it's, you work so hard, you play 82 games to get to that point, and then, you know, you're a team who should go far, and you get knocked out in the first round. A lot of the times, you know, you can accredit that to goalie fatigue.
Yeah, and I mean, you take a look at the way Boston went about their business for the longest time, the final few years of Tuukka Rask's career. They tried not to fatigue him come the playoffs. You know, I do think the more we learn about this stupid position, the more that we're going to see the 60-start goaltender kind of maybe not be the norm anymore. And so it really, and that doesn't mean that you don't have your guy. That doesn't mean you don't have your desired number one. But if you can find somebody that gives you close to or still a decent opportunity to win games, then having that can be really valuable, because it really does help keep the fatigue away from your number one guy. And look, I don't know if this has anything to do with Connor Hellebuyck. I'm just using him as an example, but I mean, Hellebuyck in the playoffs has not been anywhere near as strong as he's been in the regular season. There's no doubting that Connor Hellebuyck is an elite goaltender, one of the best in the world, but come playoff time, it hasn't worked the same way. And so I don't know for sure if that is a product of the potential fatigue, but it could be. And, you know, I think that it is something that we're going to see more and more as time goes along. We're going to see more teams, I believe, and a lot of goalie people believe, that maybe that super high volume starter maybe isn't the norm as much as it has been in the past. We'll see. We'll see if that ends up being true, but you can definitely understand the logic behind it.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely can understand the logic. And again, I could be wrong. People who feel this way could be wrong. But at this point, especially in the last, I want to say 6 to 10 years, I don't think it's a coincidence when you have these high-end elite goalies play the way they play in a regular season and earn their spots among the echelon of the elite and then falter in the playoffs. I'm starting to think, like, when something happens over and over, Patty, it stops being a coincidence. It stops being a reason, right? That's the way I feel. So we'll see.
And, you know, if we then talk about it strictly from a Flame standpoint, you know, that could end up, now there's your opportunity if you're a Devin Cooley, right? Like, if they are projecting, say, next year, and Wolf continues to be the guy that he's been this year, and I have no reason to believe he wouldn't be. So now all of a sudden, say next year, it's Devin Cooley is the other member of the tandem. Well, can you make it so it's like 53 starts for Wolf instead of 62? That's a nice difference, and that's a nice ability to maybe, and could a guy like Cooley in quick math, Steinberg, in the other 29 starts, could Devin Cooley give you a really strong opportunity to win in those 29 starts? And if the answer is yes, then I think you're in good shape. And now you still have your guy in for a good chunk of the games, but you also are able to rest him because you trust the other guy. And that, I think, is the ideal. And I think that's what teams are going to be looking at more and more as we move into, you know, as we continue evolving in the way we think about this position.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. Let me ask you, my man, what did you think of Rory Kearns tonight?
Thought he was fine. Thought a couple of times he was around the net. I like the way that he goes to the net. I didn't feel like they didn't play as much, and that's partly because it wasn't a walk in the third period. Only played 11:41 tonight, but still thought he was fine. I didn't think he looked out of place. Obviously didn't pop the same way that he did last night, but I thought he was still fine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know it's only two games, but so far he looks like he belongs. So let's see how that goes. If they were to send Walker Duehr back down eventually, here. What would you think about them calling up William Stromgren from the Wranglers?
I don't love it because, again, I don't know if you're putting him in a situation where he's going to succeed.
Understood. I know a lot of people talking about the Wranglers, and rightfully so. Dryden Hunt deserves the accolades he's getting. Klapka's a big guy, right-hand shot, already has an NHL experience. So I understand why those two would be. But I feel like people are talking about Stromgren enough. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
I don't think you're wrong. I know Craig Conroy's a big fan of the way he's played this year and how much he has progressed. I know the Flames were very happy about him in Penticton, and I know they've really liked the way he's played with the Wranglers. He's got 25 points in 35 games, but like you want to call him up to the NHL, or if you're going to call him up to the NHL, you want to put him in a place where he's going to succeed. And for a guy that is a pretty impactful guy offensively with the Wranglers, is playing 9 minutes a night on the fourth line going to be the best place for him to succeed? So has nothing to do, in my opinion, about Stromgren at all. It's more about, you know, is replacing Walker Dewar the best place for him to go? And I personally don't think so. If you're going to be, I look at it like, if you're going to call up somebody to play on that fourth line, call up a guy who fits on a fourth line and the identity that this fourth line kind of plays with, and that skews way more Dryden Hunt than it does William Stromgren, if you ask me.
Yeah, you have a point there for sure. I do agree with that. That's a valid point. You know, it was a back-to-back. You know, like you said, not an excuse but a reason. But they, I said it last night, they definitely need to win the next one now, because I'd be good with a split, Patty. If they could get a split, then they can get it, you know, divide that back into a 4-5-point lead. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they can make that happen, because if they can't, now it's, you know, now you've lost two in a row. You know, you're not doing anything to really improve that road record, so to speak, which has been a real Achilles heel for the team in general. So it's going to be an interesting one on Thursday night. Hopefully they can get 2 points and not give St. Louis any, and, you know, move their way up. But we'll see. I hope you have a good night, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, Georgie. Appreciate it, pal. We got a few lines open at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat, give us a call, 403-240-4444. If you call now, you won't get a busy signal. If you want to chat following this 2-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues on a Tuesday night, we got John with us on the phone lines tonight. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was going to go off about how the Flames have had an awesome season already compared to how they have in the past. And the guy was just talking about Vladar Wolf. Yeah, I think Wolf is the number one guy right now. And I think he should be playing way more games.
Well, I mean, it's not like he hasn't been playing a lot of games, though.
No. Yeah, for sure. He has been. But how many games has Wolf won compared to Vladar, right? So,
but all I'm saying is that they started Vladar tonight because it was the second half of a back-to-back.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying I like Vladar. I love the guy, but Wolf's the future of the team. And a lot of people have been crapping on how the Flames are going to start off with the bad season and blah, 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 whatever. But look how they've been doing. I don't think they should make any changes right now. Obviously, if there's an injury or something like that, like Zary or whatever, yeah, of course. But mm-hmm. I don't think there should be any changes. Look at their record right now.
The only type of change that I think you're really looking at right now is if something comes available that helps them fill an organizational need long-term. That's why we keep talking about, for instance, like that right-handed young center. And if a right-handed young center were to come available, well, you can understand why the Flames might go chase that, because it's an area of need for the organization. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I don't think that you need, like, I don't think that they're in a spot where they are making changes just for this season or acquiring players just for this season. If it's a bigger picture acquisition, sure, I think you could see them do that. But, and I think that's the way to go, honestly.
Yeah, like they're talking about like being in a rebuild and all that stuff, but they're up there right now, right?
Well, they've never used the word rebuild. We use that word sometimes.
Well, yeah,
but like they are going in a different direction. They have pivoted. They have changed their philosophy. They are going and giving younger players far more opportunities, and they're going to continue to get younger here as things go along. So they definitely have changed course, and they're not focused only on this year. But I also think 42 games into a season, it's probably, and 42 games into what was supposed to be kind of a 3 to 5 year plan, I think it's a little premature to be declaring that, oh, well, rebuild over, retool over, whatever it's called, over, and that it's been successful. I mean, it's still a little early for that.
Yeah, it could be, but I think they're doing pretty good for it.
They've played well through 42 games.
We've had some pretty crappy years over the last however many years, right? Like, we have made playoffs in how many years?
There's zero doubt that they've played well through 42.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, I've been a Calgary Flames fan. Actually, I'm from Nova Scotia. You can probably tell from my accent. And I grew up in Calgary almost half my life, and back in Nova Scotia now. That's where I'm calling from right now. And diehard Flames fan. 1989 was the best year of my life because the Flames won.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I think this is we're going up right now.
All I'm saying, man, is I just think it's a little early to suggest 42 games in to a long-term plan to suggest that it's over and they're successful. Yeah, I think that's early.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, John. Well, you have yourself a great night. Hey, it's
right,
late out there.
Thanks.
Get to bed.
Thanks again for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, John. You be well. We got a couple of phone lines open. If you want to chat on this Tuesday night, give us a call at 403-240-4444. Flames lose this one 2-1 to the St. Louis Blues. It's the first of two straight at Enterprise Center in St. Louis. We are pretty thin on the phone lines tonight, so if you want to call, you won't get a busy signal right now. 403-240-4444. That is your phone number. Still got lots of text to get to at 960-960. So lots of opportunity to jump in on the text line on this Tuesday night as well. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Megan Mickelson named Martin Pospisil the hardest working Flame, had himself a really nice night, on the road in St. Louis. Let's hear from Pospisil post game in St. Louis this evening.
But what are your thoughts on that game? It was obviously really tight right from the opening puck drop.
Yeah, obviously I think, that was a tight game, and I think we played pretty good, but it wasn't enough. We just need to reset and get ready for the next game.
It is going to be a unique circumstance to get this same team 2 days later, and obviously they're behind you in the playoff race and pushing hard. What do you do going into this next game to try to get a different result?
We need to bring the energy and I think score first. You know, we don't have this isn't a good first period, so next game is going to be important to dictate the tempo of the game, and just prepare for a game and bring the best.
I wonder what you think about the kind of chances you guys got. Did it feel like you were looking for that perfect shot sometimes, maybe instead of just throwing something at the net to see what happened?
Yeah, I think we had lots of chances, and obviously the goalie stopped it, so hopefully next game is going to be better, and we have to score score a couple of chances what we had tonight.
And maybe just a word about your own goaltender and how he kept you in it, especially in that second period.
Yeah, well, it was great. It wasn't easy for him. We played back to back, and I think it was a really good night for him, and he kept us in the game.
There you go. That is Martin Pospisil. His thoughts post-game from St. Louis. Flames lose this one 2-1 to the Blues. One more game against St. Louis on this mini two-game set as they will remain in St. Louis and take on the Blues again on Thursday night. Okay, it is last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. So if you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. We've been super thin on the phone lines tonight, so, and that's fine. Not going to force it, but if you want to call, do so now. Last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming as well at 960-960. Lots still to get to on our Flames Talk post-game show this evening. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, it is last call for phone calls following a Flames 2-1 loss on the road in St. Louis. Got a few lines open. If you still want to chat, you can do so. 403-240-4444. Last call for phone calls, though, on this Tuesday night. Text line remains open. Keep those texts coming as well at 960-960. Flames lose 2-1 to the St. Louis Blues. Only goal off the stick of Kevin Ball, who had himself an outstanding game. Last look inside the Flames locker room. Let's check in with Kevin Ball post-game from St. Louis tonight.
Pretty even game. I mean, we had our chances, and you know they obviously capitalized on their last one there, but I thought it could have went either way. So, Vladdy played unbelievable, and I really felt it could have went either way. You know, they get that one sneaky tip, and we can't capitalize and take it to OT, so it is what it is.
Take us through your goal.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I just winded it up. I was going to try to throw it backside, and I had nobody there, so I was just like, hey, maybe I can sneak one in on the other side. It's just, you know, we've been throwing it back post a lot this game, so yeah, worked out.
What do you need to clean up for the rematch on Thursday?
I think we got to play a pretty similar game, but hopefully just a little bit more rested. Obviously, that won't be a back-to-back game, so a little bit more legs and, coming flying and hopefully we can get those 2 points.
Kevin, it was a really tight game. Obviously, two teams battling for playoffs behind, and obviously the Blues were in a tough position against you guys. What was it like out there in terms of that?
I loved it. It was a good physical game and high pace. I mean, even for being back-to-back, I thought we really pushed the pace. Like, they were just high-flipping everything, it felt like, so maybe adjust to that, maybe a bit more even keel, and when they high flip it, just everybody on top of their guys, and regroup, get it set, go back, and just keep on attacking, breaking them down.
Maybe it's just tendencies. You learn about a team when you're going to play them twice. It's like a playoff series, if you would. You can learn and pick up a lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, they're they got up there, and it was a very tight, like everything was off the glass or high flip, and they just send two guys to pressure and try to get a little break. And other than that, they were just trying to stay five back, I felt like. So, yeah.
There you go. That is Kevin Ball, his thoughts following this one, 2-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues. We've heard from Kevin Ball. We've heard from Nazem Kadri, Martin Pospisil, and Ryan Huska, all right here on your Flames Talk post-game show. Always your number one spot for post-game response following any all 82 games for the Calgary Flames tonight. 2-1 to the Blues. That was game 42 and game... Is that game 42 or game 43? Azam, you'd know better than me. That was game 43. So 39 games to go now. So 43 games down. Game 44 is coming up on Thursday night again in St. Louis. Okay, to the text line we go. A few more texts at 960-960. This reads... Devin Cooley's a few months away from turning 28, and he's played a total of 6 NHL games. I say stick with Wolf and Vladar over the next few years, assuming Vladar wants to stay. Okay, so a few things there. First of all, Vladar's an unrestricted free agent, so you would have to re-sign him. Second of all, Devin Cooley's the best goalie in the American League and has definitely earned himself, at the very least, a conversation about getting into NHL games. Number three, as this turns more and more into Dustin Wolf's crease, as it should, how much does Dan Vladar want to, turn into definitely the number two option? And whether it's a strict starter backup like Connor Hellebuck and all his backups throughout the years, or Henrik Lundqvist and his backups through the years, so on and so forth, or it turns into slightly more of a 1A, 1B tandem, how much does Dan Vladar want to be here as clearly the second option? And I don't know the answer to that. It's more of a rhetorical question, but I think it's an important question. Like, how much does Vladar want that as opposed to maybe being able to be truly in a fight? Like, next year, if Dan Vladar were to re-sign, say, for another year or two, I don't think he's in a fight next year. Like, I don't think we're talking about him being in a competition all year long in terms of playing time. Whereas if he signed somewhere else, there might be that opportunity. Like, I don't think he's going to sign to be a number one anywhere, but does he have the opportunity to be more in a competition and maybe fighting for more playing time than he might get with the goaltender of the future developing into what looks like could be a franchise goalie? So that is, again, I don't know the answer to that, but I do wonder about that for sure. This reads from Colin. I think the Flames are using Wolf perfectly. Don't want to burn out a rookie early into his career like so many other clubs have done. Also great to see them adding other young players into the mix rather than trying to get short-term veterans just because the first half of the season has gone better than most people would have predicted. Keep on doing what you're doing, Conroy, including drafting high-end offensive players rather than large slugs. First of all, let me tell you this. I can also tell you that the Flames, like, internally have been pleasantly surprised at the results. I don't think they were expecting it quite to be at this level either. I don't think they were expecting to be near the bottom, and the expectation was for them to be competitive, but for them to have played the way they have through 43 games and been or be where they are, still in a playoff spot by points and points percentage, I don't know if there were a ton of people inside that front office that saw exactly this coming either. I agree on the Wolf front. My biggest conversation point about Wolf is just about making sure you do not burn him out and do not derail him like has happened to so many other young goalies, as that texter suggested, from Devin Levi to Carter Hart to Mackenzie Blackwood and John Gibson and others just off the top of my head. Those are four off the top of my head that have started their careers really, really strong and then probably got overplayed. And that derailed them. And it didn't just derail them for that one season. Feels like it kind of kept them off the tracks for another season or two until they got it back. So that I'm with you 100%, Colin, that I do think that they need to be very, very cognizant of that. This says, Pat, longtime listener, love the show. Keeps me connected to the Flames away at school. Was at the game here in St. Louis tonight. Flames looked pretty slow, and there was not a lot of pressure. Felt like a second leg of a back-to-back. Power play was disappointing. I get frustrated with Uyghur on the breakout sometimes as he carelessly throws the puck for the drop back. Love Uyghur, but when he does that, it kills me. Should be a better effort on Thursday. Karens looked good again tonight and like to see him stay in the lineup. That comes from Jared in St. Louis. I like that, Jared. Thank you for texting, by the way. And I think he will stay in the lineup because I do think that he's done enough in two games to remain there. So yeah, I think that we're talking about Karens remaining in the lineup, and I think that if that happens, it's the right call for sure. Okay, great stuff tonight on the text line, 960-960, and now back to the phone lines for a few more following this 2-1 loss to St. Louis. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show, and it's, of course, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's start by saying hello to Anton this evening. What's up, Anton?
Hey, Patty, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. Watched the game tonight. Had some Lena's pizza in Englewood. You ever have that?
So my first place I lived on my own was literally beside the original Lena's on Center Street in Tuxedo. So I've had Lena's many, many times. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, to anyone listening tonight, I recommend it. It's really good. Kind of took the pain away from the loss. Although I'm not as down atrocious as I would have been, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, coming off a 3-game win streak, being in the playoffs. But look, I don't know that much. I mean, I know a little bit about hockey, and I'm sure, you know, Huska and the coaching staff, they know better than me, but I look at the top line and I look at Pospisil, and I don't know, man, like, he doesn't scream first liner to me. I don't think he should be on the first line. I get that he's, you know, he might be doing stuff that, you know, I'm not seeing, but I just think if this team is going to be successful moving forward and, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, you know, getting in, I just don't think Pospisil can be on your first line.
It's interesting because I actually liked what we saw from Pospisil tonight. Didn't mind Pospisil at all in this one. But do I think that if this team ends up developing a high-end number one line, do I think Pospisil is on it? Probably not, if I'm being honest. I get it right now. Opens up some space, all that type of stuff. Like, I get it right now. But I think long-term, you know, I actually think it was somebody on Twitter today that pointed it out. And it was either on Twitter or somewhere else. I actually don't remember. But suggested, like, long-term, should it not be Coronado on that line? And I think there's a lot to that. You know, you got Huberdeau, the natural left winger, Kadri, obviously, the center. Some point down the road, if Coronado was on that line, I'd be really interested in it. And I'm talking about sometime down the road, like this season. Love Coronado on that line right now with Backlund and Coleman, and I'm not eager to change it. But at some point, inevitably, you juggle things up. And when that juggle comes, I really would be interested to see Coronado on that line. And more so now because Zeri's hurt. I know there's been a lot of people clamoring for Coronado playing with Zeri, and I get it. But right now, Zeri's out, and we don't think he's coming back like right away. So he's still going to be out a little while. So I would be interested in seeing that down the road.
What about like, you know, moving, you know, Sharangovich up to that top line spot once Zeri comes back, and then you have Karen, Zeri, and Pelletier. Because I think Pospisil, like, I think he can be a perfect fourth liner, you know, on a line with Lomberg and Rooney. I mean, I'd like an upgrade on Rooney too, but, you know, they'll do what they can. But, you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah, I think there's probably something to be said for that, for sure.
And then, man, I don't know, Backlund tonight with that, you know, that play that led to the goal, man, he's already kind of a black hole offensively sometimes. It's like, if you're not going to contribute on offense, like, you can't be making mistakes like that, you know?
I think that's a little, honestly, I think that's a little harsh on Backlund. He's been so good for them this year. I mean, every year, you know what you're going to get for him. He's like one of their two or three or four most important forwards. He made a mistake tonight that led to a goal. Obviously, 1,000% he did. And that goal that ends up being the game winner is on him. But those mistakes happen like almost never. Like, that's probably the first time that he's made an egregious mistake, and we're 43 games into the season. That guy plays against the best players every single night. He still contributes offensively. He's still going to get 18 to 20 points and kind of like 18 to 20 goals, rather, 70 to 20 goals, 35 to 45 points. I don't know. I'm not necessarily on, like, obviously I'm a huge Backlund guy, so I'm usually going to stick up for him, but I don't know. Did he make a mistake tonight? Yes. Did it lead to a goal? Yes. Does he deserve criticism for that? Yes. But to that, like, I think that to then paint that as the entire evaluation of the player this season, which I'm not necessarily saying you are, but I think that's maybe a little harsh.
Yeah. I guess that, you know, I just, you know, sometimes watching this offense, you know, it just gets me a little riled up, you know, because it's like you can't score at all. So if you're not scoring at all, it's like, you know, what else, you know, are you doing in that moment? Last point, and then I'll hop off here. But, you know, maybe getting, you know, an upgrade on Coleman. I know he's on a pretty expensive deal long term, but, you know, he's the Texas Tiger, right? He, you know, Dallas, you know, they're looking to shore up their depth. You know, maybe we can look to ship Coleman out, and
Where are you getting an upgrade on him?
I don't know. You can maybe call up someone from the Wranglers, you know.
Who
maybe,
on the Wranglers is going to be a better player in Coleman's role?
Well, you got me there, Pat. I don't know. Maybe like someone like Strongren, or, you know, make space to acquire a younger forward, you know, like someone who can, you know, someone who's more offensively driven, because, you know, watching them sometimes, you know, he missed the net, like, you know, right in the slot. And, you know, that happens a lot, that, you know, they miss these chances, and it's just hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, but again, like, is that really what Coleman's here for. Like, he's here for a little bit of secondary offense, which he scored 30 last year. Let's not forget that either. And again, he's kind of on pace for somewhere in the 18 to 21 goal, 40 to 50 point range. I don't know, like, that's not a black hole offensively. And then you add on top of that what he does in the shutdown defensive game. I don't know. I think you're being personally, Anton, and you know, I love you. I just think you're being a little harsh on a couple of guys.
That's fair. You know, I'm starved for goals, you know, and I got a little bit of a taste of it, you know, yesterday with Chicago. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's hard to, you know, get a taste of that and then having to come back and, you know, watch us, you know,
I wouldn't get, I mean, did Binnington look like a Vezina finalist tonight?
I mean, you know, one goal on what, 25, 26, 27 shots?
They had,
you know, they couldn't get anything past them.
They had three slot attempts tonight. Like, it, as a team, they just weren't very good at generating offense tonight, which I guess is kind of to your point. But my counterpoint to that would be, like, I would get used to that because this is not an offensively high-powered team, and I don't think at any point they're going to turn into one. They ran into an absolutely putrid Chicago team last night. Who's kind of at rock bottom in their season, and they scored some goals. But generally, that's not who this group is.
Yeah, no, you're right, yeah. I just, you know, get caught up sometimes wishing that we could score some more goals. But yeah, no, I get it, yeah. Maybe I've been a little bit too harsh on the fellas. You know, great three-game winning streak, and, you know, they get one back in St. Louis. You know, we're good to go for Saturday, so.
Well, it's good to hear you, buddy, and appreciate the call as always. You be well, and have a good rest of your week, hey?
Yeah, you too, Patty. Thanks for having me on. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. See ya.
Thanks, Anton. Let's say hello to Jordan following a 2-1 loss to the Blues. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, Patty. You know, I'm just hanging out. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch a lot of the game, but I listened to the whole thing on good old Sportsnet 960. So
it's what we like to hear.
Wilsey's got a good call, as always. I got a lot of respect for Dan Vladar. You know, I feel bad kind of people, you know, berating him every, not berating him, but like hating on him, I guess, every time he gets in. It's like, well, second half of a back-to-back, he's probably going to get in anyways.
Yeah, this was always going to be a Vladar start.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of one of those things that kind of has to be a given and you can't really be upset about that. And he's got a tough role. Like, you know, being off for, you know, four games in a row, that was the longest it's been, right, this season?
Yes, because this is the longest stretch either goalie's had.
Yeah, and, like, it's not easy. I'm no goalie, but I'm sure it's not easy to just hop back in there and be lights out. But, like, he played a great game. He only let two goals in. And from what I was listening to, at least, they seemed pretty good goals. So, you know, first off, just a lot of respect to Vladar. And, you know, I was listening to a couple of callers back, and you're talking about Wolf and kind of shielding him and making sure. We don't want to overwork the guy. And, I mean, not that everything's made public in the dressing room, but it doesn't seem like Wolf has a lot of a problem with it. Like, I'm sure he understands he's a rookie, and, you know, like, he's not gonna, hopefully he's not out there expecting every single start, and he understands kind of.
Well, I mean, he's a goalie, so he wants to play every single game he can, but no, I don't think that he's sitting there feeling upset because they split games the first half of the season. And also, it's going to be because you can pretty much take it to the bank that Wolf's going to go on Thursday in St. Louis. So that'll be 5 of 6 if he goes against the Blues. And that's kind of a starter's workload.
Yeah, exactly. And then who knows? We don't know about Winnipeg, but I would assume he'd probably be in there as well. So of course he's getting the games in, but I think it's perfectly fine, the workload that he's getting.
They were very, very careful with the workload early on. And then as we're into the second half of the season now, they're kind of transitioning to, all right, if a goalie is playing well, gets a little bit more time and a little bit more runway. And that's what we're seeing right now with Wolf. And it's the first time in his NHL career he started at this volume. Let's see how he continues to deal with it. So far, so good. Honestly, I'm not expecting it to drop off a whole lot because I'm, like many, have a very, very high opinion of the goaltender we're talking about. But again, it's just another part of the discovery and evolution of this guy in his first year in the NHL. And so if it does drop off, okay, well, then you can ease back on the workload and start working Vladar back in a little bit. And I do think they will work Vladar back in a little more as the year goes along. But right now, Wolf has earned an opportunity to get a bit of a run, and let's see how he does. Let's see how he does with it.
Yeah, of course. And then you're also talking to someone else about kind of the plan and how it's going younger. And I know you're not the GM and you might not have all the answers for me, but I'll shoot some anyways. If you're all right with that. But when you say they're going younger over the course of the next few years, of course they've got guys like Coronado, Zeri, maybe Cairns if he ends up sticking around up here. Who are all RFAs, Jacob Peltier, like all RFAs coming up, and they're all young. I'm assuming they'll all probably be re-signed if they think that they fit within the structure, which I know Coronado, Zeri for sure.
I mean, I don't think any of those guys you named are in risk of not re-signing as RFAs.
No, exactly. And then there's guys like Kuzmenko, who's probably not going to get re-signed. And I mean, Mantha was a whole unfortunate thing, but I'm assuming that won't be re-signed. Like Tyson Barrie, I don't think that they would re-sign. So for like some of those guys, would that be kind of bringing in players from the Wranglers, or, if this godsend right-handed center comes in, maybe, that's a whole nother thing, but.
What are you asking?
Yeah, no, sorry. Say if like Kuzmenko, we don't re-sign him because I don't think that's going to happen. So then
I really don't think there's any reason to have the conversation about re-signing Kuzmenko,
no.
Right?
And then even like Kevin Rooney, I know he's kind of stuck around in the lineup for a while, but I see he's a UFA.
I think that you can be fairly confident that at worst, you'll see Barry probably not be back. You'll see Kuzmenko not be back. You'll see Rooney not be back. So there's three more openings that the team has to potentially fill next season and for guys to fight for in training camp. So that's just another part of the process of going younger. Like here's how I'd put it to you, Jordan. Since Craig Conroy took over, he's traded. Let's see if I can get it all right in order because there's been so many of them. But he's traded Tyler Toffoli, Nikita Zadorov, Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev, Noah Hanifin, Jacob Markstrom, and Andrew Mangiapane. Seven mainstays, and has brought back largely draft picks and prospects. He has brought back Kevin Ball in the Markstrom trade, who's a 24-year-old, so he's still young and has turned into an everyday player. They brought back Miramanov from Vegas in the Hanifin trade, and he is what he is right now, and that hasn't gone as swimmingly as they would have hoped. And they brought back Kuzmenko in the trade for Vancouver, with Vancouver, and Kuzmenko's only here because that was the guy that made the money work for Lindholm to go the other way. So they traded away seven mainstays, seven key players who played every single night, and at no point did they bring back a player better than they did. And each time they brought back somebody younger, and each time they opened up an opportunity for a younger player down the road, whether it was immediately or the following season, to fight for playing time. That's how they've gotten younger, and that's how they'll continue to get younger. And that means if there's a taker for Rooney at the trade deadline, I'm very confident that Craig Conroy would trade Rooney and open up an opportunity for somebody else. And so on and so forth. Same with Kuzmenko. Same with Barry. So that's how they've gotten younger.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, some, again, you talk about mainstays, and, you know, I'm not on the front that we should, you know, trade this guy or trade Anderson or trade whatever. Like, I think there's certain players that.
Well, and they traded all those guys. They traded all those guys because Markstrom requested a trade and wanted out. Mangiapane, final year of a deal going into it. And the fit, you know, I don't know if there was, there was not a trade request from the Mangiapane camp, but I think there was an understanding that a change of scenery might be best for Andrew, and good for him. He's gone and joined one of the best teams in the NHL. And he's having a decent year in his first year with the Capitals. He's got 17 points. He's kind of on pace for where he's usually on pace for, kind of in the 17 to 22 range himself. So good for Andrew. And he's had a, but wasn't the way things were going, you know, he probably needed a change of scenery. The Flames got a second round pick for him. So they were able to get him to a spot that maybe fits him a little bit more. And again, opens up another door for somebody else. So yeah, I just look at it and I think like they've done a pretty good job of, and all the other guys were pending UFAs and were in the final years of contracts and weren't going to re-sign. And you know, there probably wasn't going to be a contract that made sense for Mangiapane and the Flames on an extension. So they got a second round offer from Washington and they instantly jumped at it. And so right now they don't have the same type of impact mainstay players on final years of contracts, which is why I don't think they'll be trading Rasmus Anderson or Blake Coleman or other players in that ilk, because they're not in the final years of contracts right now.
Yeah, no, of course not. And then I wanted to ask specifically about Coleman, not that I want to get rid of him, not that he's in his last year, whatever. Do you think it would be more of a, if it's similar to the other guys, and he wants out, then you get rid of him? Or is it like, because he'll be, what, he's 33, so he'll be, what,
well, I don't 36? Get rid of him, like, but I mean, if there is a, if there is somebody in his, if you are in the final year of not Conroy, of Coleman's contract, and there's not a, and he's told you that he's not interested in re-signing, well, then you trade him approaching the deadline, or you trade him in that season.
Yeah, for sure. But that's future. That's whatever. If he were to re-sign, would that be a good, like, I mean, I like Coleman. I know.
Would, I mean, it depends what that would look like. It would, you'd have to enter more of a short-term thing, I would think, if he were to re-sign.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. Because, yeah, I know, like, some of those guys are definitely getting older, and then, yeah, I mean, Michael Backlund is the captain. I know he's a UFA in 26. Like, I'm sure he's hoping to. And who knows? Who knows what he's hoping to do?
Anyway, I know this is a little far. That's a little far down the road, and we got to we got to roll here, George.
Exactly. Sorry about that. Well, you. All right. Well, and anyways, I don't want to trade Backlund. I was just asking. All right.
You be well. I'm sure we'll talk to you on Thursday.
For sure.
Thanks, Jordan. Good to hear from you, bud. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines this evening. As always, appreciate all your texts. Always appreciate all of your phone calls as the Flames lose this one 2-1 on the road in St. Louis this evening. Time for your final summary, and it's a quick one tonight. Not a lot of goals, not a lot of offense. Blues open the scoring 49 seconds into the first period tonight. Colton Parayko made it 1-0 Blues with his 9th of the year. Parayko from Braden Schenn and Cam Fowler, and the Blues in the lead. They led 1-0 then. They led 1-0 after 20. Blues had a number of opportunities in the second, but could not beat Dan Vladar, so it was still 1-0 St. Louis after 40 minutes of play, so they had led almost wire-to-wire through two periods of play. Into the third period we go. Really like the way the Flames came out in the third, and they were rewarded with a game-tying goal just past the six-minute mark. Kevin Ball steps into one and wrists home his second of the year. Ball from Martin Pospisil and Nazem Kadri at 6:06 to get the Flames on the board. We had a tie game 1-1, but just over 5 minutes later, nice redirect from Radek Foxa to give the Blues their one goal lead back. Foxa picks up his third of the year from Cole Tucker and Alexei Toropchenko at 11-11. That made it 2-1 at that point. Flames had maybe one or two good opportunities to tie from there, but couldn't convert, and they'd end up losing this one by a 2-1 score. That was your final shot, 27-25 in favor of the Flames. Both Calgary and St. Louis went 0-2 on the power play this evening. Your three stars in the building tonight, number 3, Radek Foxa, number 2, Jordan Binnington, and with a goal, the number 1 star tonight was Colton Parayko. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was Martin Pospisil. With the loss, Flames fall to 21-15-7. They're back in action Thursday, and St. Louis improves to 21-20-4. They're also back in action Thursday because these two teams play each other once again, and once again they'll do it at Enterprise Center in St. Louis. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast duo of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show. It's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, as we mentioned, Thursday, once again at Enterprise Center in St. Once again, 6 o'clock face-off, which means we're on the air at 5 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from St. Louis tonight. Flames drop at 2-1 to the St. Louis Blues. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.